Welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Segment's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There is never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels are the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys here in Dallas. Jared Sandler is coming up in about 15 minutes or so to preview Game 2 Rangers-Cardinals. The pregame coming up at 6 o'clock. Ari Temkin, Big 12 Radio, joins us now here on The Fan. And good afternoon, Ari. How the heck are you?
I'm great, General. How are you, buddy?
We're doing awesome here, man. It's exciting, to see all this sports news happening and the Texas Tech softball team and the Longhorn softball team and the Collision Course. So hopefully you got some thoughts on that for us. But obviously the top story, Brandon Sorsby and the trial there. When do you anticipate we're going to get a court decision on this?
Yeah, it's. I think it'll come down fairly quickly. Some of the indications I've seen have been, you know, within the week. You know, there have certainly been, you know, some from the lawyer's side, things that the judge has to go over. But it's probably not as cut and dried as I think people anticipate it to be, because you hear gambling, you hear gambling on his own team, and you think, all right, this will be pretty easy. But I think what the judge here is deciding is sort of between two different things, which is one, you know, does the NCAA, which has been ruled a monopoly by the Supreme Court, have the ability to create rules to govern the sport? And if not, then they can't do that. So therefore, this rule is null and void and the injunction will be granted. The other one is this one of those things that sort of transcends that rule? And in sports, we have to protect the integrity of sports. And therefore, because of that, the injunction will not be granted, regardless of the validity of the rule itself.
So it's possible the judge could decide it's not constitutional for you to block players from betting on their own team?
The way you put it there, yeah, absolutely. And it really goes to the core of the NCAA's argument that it cannot enforce any of its rules because the Supreme Court said that it's a monopoly. And that's really what Jeffrey Kessler and many other lawyers have been after over the last few years since the Supreme Court made that decision, was continuing to strike down, you know, any sanctions or rules that they put in place. And so far, you know, most of the courts have handed the NCAA a bunch of L's when it comes to any of these sorts of rules that they're trying to enforce. And that's been their biggest issue. It's the reason they're, you know, lobbying as much as they have with Congress in order to get something passed that will give them some sort of power in order to, you know, put these rules together. It is sort of ironic in a sense too, Gavin, from the standpoint of the SEC and the Big Ten have already come out with this College Sports Commission, a different rule, and basically said, hey, even though we've established this College Sports Commission, which is going to oversee NIL, we don't agree or abide by these things, and we're not going to participate in these rules. So right now, rules are, with the NCAA, extremely fluid.
Wow. So you think that there's still a good chance here that he plays this year for Tech?
Yeah, no, I think he will. I absolutely think he will. And as we've done our kind of off-season previews over the last few weeks, I'm including Brandon Sorsby as if he's going to play for Texas Tech. Okay. And I understand like how that makes people feel. And if an injunction is granted, I know that there's going to be just a firestorm of media around it. And I'm sure a lot of it will center on this homerism in Lubbock County Court. Now, again, if the NCAA appeals this, it goes to a circuit court in Texas, which is overseen by four different Texas Tech alumni. So it goes deeper than that. But to me, it just boils down to these two sides, guys. It's on one side, you have the NCAA's ability to enforce rules and the continued court system across the country saying you do not have the ability to do that. And that's where the injunction would come in hand. Or the other side of that, again, which is transcending all of this, is just the importance of, you know, the integrity of our sports. And this is the way the NCAA laid it out. Basically, if this injunction is granted, this would be the first time in American pro sports that somebody's been able to bet on the league they're playing in and continue to play in said league.
Mm. What do you estimate the chances are, Ari Temkin, Big 12 Radio, that you're wrong believing Sorsby will be eligible?
I mean, I'd say it's probably 50-50, but I'm not a lawyer. Sometimes I occasionally try to play one on the radio. I think so to me, General, it comes down to, you know, Brandon Sorsby didn't hire Jeffrey Kessler as much as Jeffrey Kessler hired Brandon Sorsby. And I think he saw this opportunity to continually strike down, you know, these antitrust laws, or, sorry, these laws that the rules the NCAA is making through antitrust means. So, yeah, I mean, again, I think like most of the discourse I've heard nationally on this is nobody really wants him to play. I think seems pretty cut and dried in terms of just how like we as a society view this sort of thing. And like, you bet on your own sport, you bet on your own team, you can't play anymore. And, you know, so I imagine if this injunction is granted, it's going to create quite the storm and the stir. And if he plays in games, like, he's going to be enemy number one. Mm-hmm. And in many ways, Texas Tech has embraced that. It's happened in softball to them, and it's going to happen in football, the way in which they're, you know, really, you know, ruffling some feathers in recruiting. But no, in terms of, am I likely to be wrong? I guess, of course, I'd throw a 50-50 shot there, but I think it's, again, pretty cut and dried in terms of, you know, the NCAA doesn't have the ability to enforce its own rules because it was viewed as a monopoly, and this is one of those rules.
I love it. Ari Temkin here with you on The Fan. So how is this different from MLB's antitrust exemption that allows it to operate as a legal monopoly?
Right, and NBA or NFL, the big difference is there is the collective bargaining agreement, and that is what many people have been calling for. To me, it's the only fix towards establishing rules and guidelines that both sides have to follow. And that is the way that all pro sports get out of being a monopoly, is the collective bargaining agreement. And so what you have is, on one side, the entire enforcement arm coming up with these rules. And even now, like today, as they meet with Congress and try to get all these bills passed through Congress and their lobbying efforts, they're not even including the dialogue with, you know, with student athletes in on this stuff. So like, they continually miss the boat here in terms of trying to figure out a common ground. And that's what led to all these lawsuits and all these losses. And, you know, look, I think collective bargaining would be extremely messy. It would not be easy. I think it would not benefit the players. I think this current situation benefits the players far more than a collective bargaining situation would. But the reality of the situation, guys, is there have been 40 bills that have been raised and written in either the House of Representatives or Congress, and none of those bills have gotten out of committee hearings. So, like, all these millions of dollars that have been spent by the NCAA on lobbying efforts, you know, everything, all the time they've spent lobbying Congress, all these bills that have been written and ballyhooed, none of them have made it out of committee, guys, let alone made it to the floor to be voted on. So there's very little progress being made. And, you know, again, as a monopoly, as viewed as a monopoly from the Supreme Court, they've got to figure out a way to collectively bargain rules. And I think ultimately that's what they're going to have to settle on. But it's going to take some time because they just do not want to view athletes as employees. And I get it, but it's probably the only way to create a salary cap, to create rules that will govern the sport and, you know, create a little bit of, you know, a little bit less of the confusion that's going on right now in the, you know, in college sports, because it in many ways is a disaster.
Hey, Ari, this is your stupid question of the day for me.
What's up, Rodas?
Yeah, I'm not going to ask you about, you know, what we're going on here, what we're talking about with the...
Sorsby?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not going to ask about the identity.
A lot, Brian.
Yeah, the identity. I'm not going to ask you about the identity of Tech right now or their softball team. But they keep talking about a commissioner. They keep talking about a Nick Saban. How close are we to this? Is that something that could help? Could it make things a little bit more stable as opposed to what we're going through right now?
You know, I would say short answer would be no. And the reason for that is because, you know, you've got Greg Sankey, the commissioner of the SEC, and you've got Tony Petitti, the commissioner of the Big Ten, and you've got all these, you know, commissioners, and those two in particular are the ones in power. And they talk about wanting to do what's in the best interest of the sport. They talk about wanting to do what's in the best interest of college athletics, but they don't. They want what's in their own best self-interest. And it's hard to argue against that because they're all, as commissioners of these leagues and stewards of those leagues, looking out for the leagues themselves and their own viability and survivability. And so, like, the latest thing we talked about with this college sports commission, right? So millions of dollars were spent to establish this College Sports Commission and this, you know, essentially algorithm that deals are plugged into, and then they, through the algorithm, decide the legitimacy of those deals, meaning they're paying X for Y action, and are they actually doing it, and is this an actual viable deal? Well, many of these schools, particularly Broadus and the SEC, promised money against NIL deals that they then co-wrote or underwrote, I should say, with the Learfield Sports, with the Playfly, you know, with essentially their media partners. And what the College Sports Commission has said is that is not a viable NIL deal. And so you have a bunch of SEC schools that have promised all these dollars to these players that will be funded through Playfly or Learfield that are no longer based on the CSC going to be able to be funded. So this is a long way to say that now the SEC has come out and say, well, we may leave this not even, you know, ascribed to the rules of the CSC and basically create our own rules, so that they have superseded any sort of goodwill rules that exist around, you know, around fair play, to say, well, because this doesn't work for us, and even though we spent a bunch of money to establish this, and even though we've said we want to do this, we don't actually want to do it. And so I think, like, again, like, nobody really wants this. Everybody just wants to be able to use the money they have to put together the most lucrative teams and make money and obviously win championships. And so, you know, again, it sounds great for Nick Saban or somebody to be a commissioner. I think it all starts with collective bargaining. And then at some point you have to put together kind of a system in place that's sustainable for a playoff. And then you probably get to a commissioner at that point in time. But to me, it sort of, the commissioner is in a sense sort of the last hire, because it's all backwards. And again, not as much as they might say it publicly, none of them actually want rules. They only want other people to have rules.
Yeah. Well, all right, what about last week, what we saw with Kirby Smart talking about Georgia will take their ball and go somewhere else? Is he just being Kirby Smart? What's going on with, are teams really believing that they can go out on their own and be Notre Dame-like or BYU-like? Well, I know BYU is now in the Big 12, but BYU wasn't independent for a bit.
Yeah, and I think, Broadus, I think a lot of SEC schools were playing into the Sankey comments about, like, not, you know, again, not wanting to play ball through this College Sports Commission bylaws. So it started there, basically, with Sankey coming out and being like, oh, yeah, we can create our own league and we don't have to, you know, we'll create our own system and, you know, our own rules and we'll govern ourselves. And, I mean, basically that is what the Supreme Court said the conferences had to do, that together as an NCAA, all these conferences are a monopoly, but individually, if they create rules and govern themselves, that is not a monopoly. And so I think they're sort of using that as leverage to try to get what they want. In terms of Georgia, I mean, yeah, sure. Georgia, Ohio State, Texas, like, there's certainly some brands in college sports that could go independent and, you know, make more money than they're making right now. I mean, think about it from Notre Dame's perspective, that you might look at their TV money and think it pales in comparison to the SEC and the Big Ten, and it does on spec. But when Notre Dame makes the playoffs, they get money for every round they advance the playoffs, like they did a couple of years ago when they played the national championship game, and they don't have to share any of that money with the rest of the conference as the SEC does, the Big Ten does. So ultimately, they have much more upside. So yeah, I could absolutely see a Georgia or a Texas or an Ohio State or a Michigan, you know, quote unquote, taking their ball and going home and you know, joining their, you know, creating their independent league conference, independent league schedule, and playing that and doing fine. But there's few and far between brands that can actually do that and thrive in that world.
Ari Temkin, Big 12 Radio. Terrific report, man. We'll catch up with you soon and have a great week.
Take care, guys. Be
well. Yeah, salute to you. No disrespect to Texas and Texas Tech softball. It was a historic day. We salute them. Championships start tomorrow night. Stars have made the shops at Willow Bend move official, or as we learned when we were up there last month at Mexican Bar Company, it's just going to be known as Willow Bend now. The shops have gone away. Those restaurants remain, but they're going to build the Stars' new HQ there. So back-to-back days, we're getting relocation news from the AAC tenants. Jared Sandler joins us next. Preview Rangers, Cards, and the Fan.